Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us.
If you have a Bible, open to the book of 1 Peter. If you don't know where that is, let me remind you, a very important book of the Bible, the Table of Contents. You can just kind of get to the middle and then turn right and keep going. If you got to Revelation, you went too far. Back off a few books. Anyway, some awesome things. We're going to begin a four-week series going through the book of 1 Peter. However, let me set it up for you with this. Family and I got to have a little nice vacation. Again, thanks to Matt Sachs. Did a fantastic job. I enjoyed listening. And we were trying to stream online, and we were having some trouble kind of getting things to stream. But we were with you on and off. But we went to this in San Francisco, went to San Diego, and then went up to... No, we did not. Everyone's asking about the earthquake. Yes, we were there. We did not feel it. We were on the coast, and that was more central. Although my sister's house in Temecula took a pretty good rocking and freaked out their dog sitter pretty well. But we were fine, safe from earthquakes. We had a good time in San Diego, and then went up to San Francisco. And one part of San Francisco that I love, we biked across the Golden Gate Bridge, and then we went to Golden Gate Park. And in Golden Gate Park, the state park there, there is this beautiful area called the Japanese Tea Garden. And those of you who have ever been there, it is just absolutely beautiful. It's very tranquil, and it's amazing as you walk through all of these different little areas that have been set up, and it's just peaceful and serene, and you can sit there. There's koi ponds. There's various sculpted trees and things. And it's just wonderful. But one part of the trip, Lainey and I had gotten, because I'm kind of ADD, and I just like go ahead and everything. So I'm near the end and sitting there, and enough peace for me. I need that much peace, and everybody needs a lot more. So I'm sitting there, and a very interesting thing was unfolding before me. There was this sweet, sweet, sweet elderly lady who obviously had traveled. They weren't from this country, and they were trying to take in these beautiful sights. And she had probably a son or a grandson that was with her, and she had her walker, and she put her walker to the side in this one koi pond, beautiful koi pond, but to get to the other side, there were these steps, these blocks in the water. And so this person put her walker away, and you could see this unfolding. It was just really something, and she was just trying to walk, and they were steadying her, and I'm thinking, so I get my phone, and I'm ready to record and jump and save her at the same time, so I'm going to be famous on the news if something goes south here. I know, I chase the attention. So I was watching it, and then all of a sudden, these two kids, now this is this really serene, beautiful place, and these two kids were running, and they were screaming and yelling, and they decided they wanted to cross this area. And so there's this elderly person who's not stable trying to walk on these little step stones, and these kids crowding her and trying to do whatever they can, bumping into her, and I started to lose it. I'm like, word. And the parents were there. They didn't care. They didn't care a single thing. And the kids were just, and they were getting around. They couldn't wait just a little bit of time. And they jumped ahead. No comment, no anything. I'm about to blow my gasket. So Lainey's like, calm down. And I'm like, kids today. And I did my whole, I'm an old guy thing. And, my brother-in-law comes around the corner, and he's like, isn't this wonderful? And I'm like, no, you don't believe what I just saw. You know, you get the point? Okay. And he's like, Michael, look around. Okay. So I gave myself a timeout, which I needed. Certainly the kids needed discipline. But what I found is that very quickly, I was so focused on this thing that irritated the living snot out of me, and I was ready to go dispense discipline or whatever, which wouldn't have been appropriate, that I almost let it ruin the rest of the experience. the entire rest of the experience. Now, yes, were the kids idiots? Certainly. They would not have survived in my house. You know, that's not gonna happen. So, and it was great that my brother-in-law could just kind of come and say, you need to look around and get the big picture, because in the middle of this Japanese tea garden, you're like blowing your gasket. And I thought, you know what, that's good advice. And as I began to think about 1 Peter, that story came back to mind. Now, a couple things before we get into, because 1 Peter talks about suffering. Not a popular subject in church. I grant you, it's not a popular subject in church, but it's something that we need to understand. And so let's do just a couple things, some who, what, when, where, how, why's about the book of 1 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, if you had it in your Bible, we read the very first line, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. So he's talking about the author is obviously Peter. This is that guy, the guy who walked on water, the guy Simon Peter, the guy who denied Christ three times, the guy who came back and Jesus restored him and gave him the charge to feed sheep, the guy who on the day of Pentecost stood up and preached such a passionate sermon that thousands of people received Christ. That guy. He's writing this. And sometimes we miss it. We read and we think, well, who, this is a guy who walked with Jesus. This is the guy who sometimes Jesus argued with, and he put his foot in his mouth all the time, and yet Jesus was always there. This is the guy who got out of the boat and took steps and walked on water. Yes, he fell, but and he started to sink, but he took a few steps. That's more than you and I did. Right? This is that guy who's writing. You know, he uses this word to who it's to. Now, this is important, because if we read this and we say, well, this letter is to elect exiles of the dispersion in these areas. And by the way, this is modern day Turkey we're talking about geographically. If we're thinking about that, we think, well, then this doesn't have anything to do with me. Okay. And we need to tackle that head on. But the words that he uses, this dispersion of Pontius, is actually talking about, it's a common phrase that was used to describe the Jews who were scattered in the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity long time prior than that. So does this book apply to us? Yes. Why? Because this is figurative. His audience is actually Christians and Jews who have been scattered due to persecution. And now for us, we come down from those individuals. So it is a relevant book for us. We can read and glean from the lessons. Peter wasn't alone. It says in 1 Peter, if we got jumped down to the end of the book, chapter 5, verse 12, it says, Silvanus, which is Silas, is another name for Silas, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you. In other words, Paul is here in Rome and he is writing, but he's actually telling Silas, and Silas is copying this letter for us. Okay, so just a couple things. Like, why is this important? So we understand. Paul was assisted in writing this. And the next verse, it says, she who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark my son. So does this mean that he was writing from Babylon? No. Most historians realize that Peter was writing from Rome. Okay, he was not in prison yet. He was writing from Rome. We're talking around 62, 63 AD. He'd been with Jesus. He has this entire area. So why does he use this? He is using figurative language. He's relating Babylon to Rome. He's not actually in Babylon. Why does this say? Because he is pointing out a society that is becoming more and more anti-Christian. Sound familiar? A society similar to Babylon that has different values than the values of a Christ follower. A follower of Christ, someone who takes to heart and takes heed of the teachings of Jesus Christ, has one set. They have a what we call it is a biblical mindset. Our values are based in Judeo-Christian principles. And the culture in Babylon was far away from that. If we remember from the book of Daniel, Daniel lived counterculturally to all of Babylon. And it cost him at times. And it cost his friends at times. And yet Daniel chose to not absorb the culture, but to remain true to God in the midst of a heathen culture. And likewise, Peter is admonishing us to do the same. And when we try to do it, persecution comes. Not a popular topic. So this great inspired author is writing during a time of growing persecution to Christians whose lifestyle and values are becoming more and more out of sync with the culture in which they live. This society is becoming more and more hostile towards the values of the Christ followers. So I got your attention. Now in the midst of all of this, let's go on. My first point for us is that suffering is part of the Christian journey here on earth. And for too long, the church has been silent on this topic. And my fear in the United States of America, my fear is because we don't speak honestly about suffering, is that we're not prepared to do it. Somehow we think that because we are followers of Christ, that that means that our lake never gets troubled, that we never have storms, our road never becomes troubled, that we don't endure persecution, when in fact we do. In fact, let's go on to the next verse, 1 Peter 1, verse 2. According to the, what's the next word there? The foreknowledge. So foreknowledge, let's break this so you have knowledge. So foreknowledge means that you knew something beforehand. God had foreknowledge of the things that we're going to suffer. Okay? According to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. God knows every trial, every suffering, every bump in the road, every health issue, every emotional issue, every relational issue, and every time where your journey is going to come in stark contrast with the culture around you. God knew it. And because God has foreknowledge, He has sanctified us because through His Spirit, and now He gives us, He's praying that grace and peace can be multiplied to us. So when you're facing a storm, you need to understand the Apostle Peter has already written in your time of suffering that grace and peace can be multiplied to you. Thank you, Lucas. All right. So God understands what we're going through and that God in the midst of that. So this isn't popular. You know, when I talk about suffering, most people just, it's like, I don't really want to do for this. I don't want to sign up for this. Suffering, I get it. It can be difficult. Now, why do we have suffering here? In this world, it's going to happen. Mankind has fallen. And because of mankind's initial rejection of God, there are some sufferings that we experience. Death. Doesn't death hurt to people around us? It hurts when we lose a loved one. It hurts. It's real. It's real. It's difficult. Grief is difficult. It hurts. Sickness. We all know folks who've suffered with sickness. Suffering. Persecutions. You know, and even people who take advantage of people. All of that is a result of the fall of mankind. And God's not ignorant to this. So why doesn't God just make it all go away? He will. In His time. He will, but in His time. And I tell you, this is the biggest thing in my Christian journey that was a hiccup for me, that really held me back. Because I refused to talk to God about the big issue in my life, which is, God, why on earth did You allow my parents to die so young? Why did You allow this to happen? And I was afraid to talk to God about that. I was afraid to actually go and talk to God because all in my mind, it was this big equation that if God is supposed to be a loving God and yet really painful things happen, then God either A, must not like me very much to allow that to happen, or B, somehow God is not this good, wonderful God. Never mind all the life choices that my parents made that helped eliminate the length of their life. Never mind decisions that other people made around them. And never mind the fact that that is just like the Zen garden. I'm freaking out about a 10-second incident, and here I have 3 hours in, or 2 hours in a Zen garden. For us, and that's not even a good comparison, we have forgotten eternity. We really have. We act like this world is all that there is. And that somehow that makes God unjust. When in fact, God is using everything around us to let us know how much He loves us and that He has purchased for us an eternity. Everybody say eternity. Eternity with Him. My, oh my, oh my. This is not our final stop. Suffering can be difficult, my church family. God understands that. God cares. But suffering can also be good. What do you mean suffering can be good? I will tell you, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to lose friends because of your faith. It doesn't feel good to lose family because of your faith. It doesn't feel good to be made fun of. It doesn't feel good to hold a biblical worldview and then listen to politicians get up and say, oh, that you're archaic in your thoughts and how ridiculous you are. Never mind that thousands of years of prosperity have been laid on the very same principles and freedom and liberty. Never mind those things. It sometimes hurts to be in that area. It hurts, but we have to remember, this is not our final stop. Our suffering may be here on the earth, but it really is not long. Grief hurts. Betrayal hurts. Jesus knew this. I mean, think about this. Jesus has foreknowledge, and He's there with Judas the whole time. And He continues to give him opportunity after opportunity, knowing that He's going to put a knife in his back. Loneliness hurts, doesn't it, gang? Loneliness hurts. Good heavens, the statistics on depression and how it continues to get anxiety and depression. My heavens, they're an epidemic in our nation, in our culture right now. These things are very real. Isolation because of our faith hurts to feel, man, nobody gets it. I'm in my workplace and everybody here is talking about this and they're all talking about a whole different worldview. And here I am supposing to hold on to Christ's teaching in my life and I feel like the outsider. My entire college experience was like that and I went to a supposedly Christian college. Is anybody serious about their faith? Is anyone serious about their faith? I tell you what, when I first came to Christ, the amount of things that I lost and made fun of, oh, you remember the God Squad. They called me the God Squad. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy going to the dining hall, have everybody laugh and talk and get and move to the other side. But you know what? That's nothing. That is nothing because Christ wants to sit down with us. So, the first point was suffering is part of our Christian journey here on earth. And sadly, my church family, there are huge portions of Christianity who have lost that doctrine, who have walked away from it and want to be popular and want to be with the culture, not stand for Christ. Which brings me to my second point, which I've kind of already shared with you. In times of suffering, remember the big picture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, the next three verses. Blessed be the God and Father. Let's all read that together. Ready, gang? 1, 2, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Now for a little while, if necessary, You have been grieved by various trials. Remember the big picture. Yes, it's not popular to say that you're going to suffer because of your faith, but you listen to me now. If you've never suffered because of your faith, you need to question your faith. If you have never suffered because of your faith and you live in such harmony with the culture around us, honey, please, as somebody who loves you, as somebody really who loves you, I want to challenge you to consider the validity of your faith. It's hard. It's hard. It's wonderful, it's blessed, but it is difficult because we live in a fallen world. We are just here a short time. Our sufferings are not long. Yes, grief hurts, betrayal hurts. All these things are there. But what we can find is the beauty of the body of Christ. That we can come along and stop and be near to one another. In our times of suffering, our job is kind of like my brother-in-law to remind you, look, you're missing everything around you. You are missing the big picture, worried about this one thing. And so I will grant it that there are times that life gets hard. And if you're like me, you do this thing. You know, you get an attitude. Anybody ever get an attitude? Oh, I get attitudes. I get attitudes. I get stinking thinking and I get in my little funk and I sit in my funk and then someone tries to come and cheer me up. And it's funny because I try to do that for my kids and sometimes they get the same thing. Oh, this is just the worst. This is the worst. Yeah, there's a Tim Hawkins skit on This Is the Worst. You should Google and watch in your time. It's kind of funny about that. But they're like, well, can't you think of one good thing? No, everything's horrible. Really? As we live in the United States of America, where, you know, look, even if you are on the very, very bottom of the food chain in the United States of America, you're in the top 5% of the entire world. Okay? It ain't that bad. Okay, come on. Seriously, it ain't that bad. If it's bad, and not to say that we don't have legitimate hurt. It hurts. It hurts when our loved ones have cancer. It hurts when we battle cancer. It hurts when we face death. It hurts, and those are sufferings because of a fallen world. But then it even hurts more when we think that because we stand for Christ, we should never get persecuted. That's not true. When you make a stance for Christ does not mean that you're exempted from sufferings. It means you're actually on the fast track, and there are some wonderful things that can come because of that. Peter gives us an important tool in the midst of our suffering. He lets us know that during this time, it's just for a short while, we need to keep our eyes on the big picture. Eternity. Eternity with Jesus Christ. Eternity with our brothers and sisters in the faith. I truly believe, I hope it doesn't happen, but there's no escaping when you read Scripture about the end times, that persecution will come. So I've got my dear friend Adonis, my translator for me when I go to Cuba. Great guy. We're texting back and forth this morning. He's telling me about his week. They've spent the whole week evangelizing. And they come from an impoverished area. And they're going, we're going to the poor people. I'm like, dude, compared to us, you're poor. He's like, here's what we're doing. We're sharing Christ. And over 100 people have received Christ this week. We won't even share with our neighbor. I'm beginning to think, you know, like this morning, I had a fleeting thought of jealousy for my dear brother. I was like, I miss when we had that passion. Look, I'm calling myself out. I'm calling all of us out too. Because I listen to even how we worship. And we worship like we're doing here a favor. We are conveying to the Almighty God appreciation for eternal salvation. Amazing grace. I mean, there's something about a passion, a very, very for real passion that we need to get after it, gang. We really do. And as I thought about this, I thought about, you know, how often do we go out and do we try to lead people? So this is my final point here today, is simply this. And it's not a popular point, but it is a true point. Trials cause us to grow. Look, we got some people who own a gym here. How effective is a training program going to be if you have a client who comes in and says, I'm ready to work out. Take every weight off of this bar. Is that going to be effective? Yeah, probably not. I mean, you guys are like lifting houses and things, and it's like, gee, it's crazy. So it's awesome. No, it is awesome. But the more that you suffer, the more you grow. Is that right? And you guys deal with this for a living today. The same is true in our spiritual walk. 1 Peter 1:7. And I want you to draw attention to the word that I highlighted. Ready? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, a faith that is tested, is more precious than gold. Let me break that down. Well, I'm worried about my IRA. Well, I'm worried about my retirement. Let me tell you what's more precious than gold. Your tested faith. Why? Because it's more precious with gold that perishes though it is tested by fire. It may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of. So, it may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. I was thinking of this week as I was praying through this message. Guys, every one of us is going to stand before Christ. And when we stand before Christ, we are going to give account of everything. And I mean everything. And we're like, well, wait, no. It's all covered by the blood of Jesus. Well, thank heavens that yes, our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions, we repent, we confess, and God is faithful to forgive. And so yes, those are covered by the blood. But what's also going to be revealed is what we did do, what we didn't do, the opportunities that we missed. How much did we really understand that our faith was in action? And I don't want to stand in front of Jesus Christ and have him say, you are more concerned with being a friend of the world than shining forth my love. Called out from time to time. This is why I love so much my friends from Cuba, because they live in fear of a government crackdown. They have to hide their plans for evangelism. They have to communicate under the radar. But they're bold. My heavens, we could learn a few things about boldness. If you have no passion to share Christ, do you have a faith? Now, if you don't know how to, please, you just call me up. I will come over. We will have coffee. We will sit down and we'll run through it and we will get you up to speed. Piece of cake. Easy to do. Very, very easy to do. Every one of us needs to do it. It will reveal, when we go through times of suffering, it will reveal our commitment, our level of commitment to Christ. The other thing, it's going to raise our awareness of our weaknesses and our sin. When we go through persecution, when we go through times of suffering, if we knuckle down, if we break, if we fall, it raises our awareness to that. It raises our awareness to our need for God. And finally, the great thing is, when we go through times of persecution or suffering, it refines our level of confidence in Christ. I remember the first time I was so intimidated about trying to share Christ, because I thought I was the biggest hypocrite in the world. And I remember the first time someone coming to Christ, and God allowed me the blessing of being used to do that. Man, nothing in the world could compare.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.